All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of European action. Celtic are at home against Kairat Almaty before facing a 7,000-mile round trip to Kazakhstan next week, with a place in the Champions League group stages up for grabs. Rangers have work to do and then some to reach those group stages. A first half hammering ending in a 3-1 defeat at home to Club Bruges last night, and then tomorrow it's over to the likes of Hibs and Aberdeen to fly the flag. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy. This should be one easy shift for you to sit back and let the phones do the talking.
Yeah, I think unfortunately for Russell Martin, his very, very short honeymoon period is definitely over. It's been a difficult time for him to try and bed in his philosophy into the group of players. A lot of new players coming in, some big decisions he's made, particularly under when it's come to James Tavernier. A lot of opinions now, I think, regarding that one. But the bottom line is, Gordon, you've got to be winning games while you're trying to develop a style and try to embed in your philosophy. And unfortunately for Russell, that hasn't happened yet. And last night, I think, was a sobering performance, particularly in the first half. I think as much as it was 3-0 in 20 minutes, other than for Jack Butland pulling off one unbelievable save, it could have been 4. I think that would have really knocked the stuffing out. Did regroup at half time, were better in the second half, but overall a very disappointing performance, of course taking into account that Club Bruges are a very good side.
And then tonight, Ross, it's the turn of Celtic, of course.
Yeah, I think it will be probably a slightly different game.
I think Celtic will come out of the traps. They'll have most of the ball, and they'll be wanting, I'm sure they'll be wanting, you know, a 2-3 goal lead to take over there, just for insurance, really. I expect them to win the game. By what margin remains to be seen.
0141-951-1025. You know the number by now, but just in case, get that dialed. Get your thoughts into us, and we'll work our way through it all between now and 8 o'clock. Celtic fans, are you on your way to the game? What are you expecting tonight? What is a suitable lead to try and take there? Because we've seen this before. It's all right looking at the teams on paper, but when you face that distance, that altitude, time differences, the journey, all that stuff, it can be so much trickier away from home. So what are you hoping for this evening? And what should the team look like? Because every single night for the last couple of months, we've debated, we've argued about Celtic's transfer business, or lack of, particularly at the top end of the pitch. So what does that mean? Does Adam Ida lead the line and Daizen Maeda plays off a side, or does Daizen Maeda lead the line and someone else plays? Is Negrin going to have to maybe play wider and allow another midfielder to come in? Is James Forrest still the man, as he has been for many years for Celtic? You decide. Pick your team for us and let us know all your thoughts there. And Rangers fans, don't even have any questions. Just the phone line will just open and you can just go. Just tell us what you made of it last night. I had a quick trip back into the office because I forgot my car keys. I then nipped to the bathroom, and by the time I left the studio last night, you were 2-0 down. It went 3. Fans are leaving halfway through the first half. Booed off at half time, booed off at full time. It could have been worse. There was a rally in the second half, as Jim alluded to. The scoreline now has an air of respectability about it. It's not impossible, but my goodness, that first 20 minutes, is that the bit that has stuck in the throat? Or maybe you do take positives from the second half. Do let us know. There was a lot going into that one in terms of team selection as well, personnel. Russell Martin's position here is always under scrutiny, really, because he's new in and he's had a fairly ropey start. So all your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025. Whilst you're gathering them, I think we can go to Celtic Park and speak to Andrew McLean, who's there.
Yeah, Celtic not really used to being involved in European qualifiers as it stands. You know, the last few years, they've obviously qualified automatically. So this does prove a different challenge for Celtic as they try to secure Champions League football once again. It means starting their European campaign earlier than they'd like to, and earlier than Brendan Rodgers would like to as well, who claims he's not frustrated by the lack of quality that they've brought in the transfer window so far, even if his body language maybe didn't suggest that yesterday during his pre-match media duties. He did admit, though, he'd rather have the players in now for this game, as he says everything hangs on it for this season, but he will have to wait until later on in the window. Of course, there is that mammoth journey ahead for Celtic next week to Almaty, which is basically on the Chinese border. It's further east than Afghanistan, it's further east than Pakistan, so they'll need to make the most of this home advantage tonight, because we saw that last time Celtic played Kazakh opposition against Astana. They had a comfortable lead, but then all of a sudden found themselves 4-1 down away from home just after half-time. Celtic were never really threatened with going out at that stage, but I think Brendan Rodgers maybe got a bit of a fright just with the way that game went. But you then get to the team news tonight. The front three is really the area that people will be looking towards, because that is what Brendan Rodgers wants to strengthen in the transfer window. It's also a real area of intrigue for supporters, because is it Adam Ida that plays through the middle? Is it Daizen Maeda who plays through the middle? Who plays on that right-hand side? As you mentioned, Gordon, could it be Benjamin Negrin, who maybe moves from midfield over to the right? Or you look at other players like James Forrest, like Yang, could they be the players to come in and make that impact tonight? I will bring that team news to you once we get it. But one man that Celtic need to look out for, I mean, it's not a team full of household names at all, Kaira Almaty. However, one man they do need to look out for, 17-year-old Dastan Sapayev. He only turned 17 last week, and he really is their talisman already. 12 goals, 8 assists in 30 games for them since he made his debut. He's already agreed to join Chelsea next summer. He'll be desperate to play Champions League football this year, but it is Celtic that stand in their way. The sun is shining at Celtic Park, and I will give you the team news as soon as I get it.
Come on then. Until then, Celtic fans, you can predict your team. You can wish for certain players to play, certain players not to play. How do you think it all looks? What type of lead would you be comfortable with taking over to Kazakhstan? The last time, the very last time you played a Champions League playoff tie, it was away in Kazakhstan. Brendan Rodgers was the manager in his first spell, and we really saw the difference between the home leg and the away leg at certain times. So get in touch. Let's dive straight in on the phones, though. I suspect last night's events at Ibrox just might be on the minds of Ian. First up, Ian.
Hi, panel. Do you know what? I'm still scratching my head. It's difficult to know where to start for last night. But it's, being honest, Rangers fans and a lot of other people could see this coming. A lot of other people that have come on the show have phoned in, people on the panel. I mean, you could see that Rangers were losing goals left, right and centre. For the minute this guy came in, I didn't particularly want him, but I was more than willing to give him a chance. But after last night, I sat in that stadium and I was, after 10 minutes, I was totally and utterly deflated. I couldn't even look at it. I spent more time looking at my phone and going for a pie and going to the toilet, because it was that bad in the first half. I mean, how can he sit and watch that and no do something to change it until the second half, or get a message on for them to re-galvanise herself? I really honestly don't know where we're going under him. I mean, Rangers, I'll tell you now, Rangers have been a lucky team to get this far. They've been lucky that they never get bet with Dundee. They get a draw with Motherwell. Motherwell were the better team. There's absolutely nothing apart from talk, coming from Russell Martin. And it's the same thing all the time. We'll learn from this. We'll get stronger from this. It's the same rubbish. Or he just keeps regurgitating all the time, and he's not fooling anybody with it. I mean, we're wide open. We're absolutely wide open. And we always said, if a good team come along, somebody who can finish, get one striker who can finish, this is what's going to happen. And he's the only one that can't see it. I don't know. What does the panel think? I think he should go. I really think it's time for him to go, honestly.
20th of August, Jim. We don't hang about.
No, I mean, listen, Ian, you can hear the frustration and the disappointment, in his voice. And I think he used the word deflated. And I think that's the way a lot of Rangers fans are feeling just now. I think when any new manager comes in, there's always a degree of optimism, even if it's not your preferred choice. Everyone wants to give somebody time. I understand how difficult it is to build a team and to develop a side in a very, very short period of time. But as I mentioned at the start of the programme, Gordon, when you're at Rangers, you've got to do it and win at the same time. Some clubs you might be able to, if you want to call it, scrap a few results out as you're trying to get there. You'll hear these phrases like it's a project, we're building something for the years to come. But when you're at Rangers, that can't be the case. And actually, Russell Martin himself said, when he first came in, he knows he's got to win, and that hasn't happened. So, from the outside looking in, I think he could have tweaked his philosophy a little bit, got himself a base to work from in the sense of maybe just being a little bit more difficult to beat, a little bit more pragmatic, won a couple of games, and at the same time, just gradually feed his system in. But he seems to have went in absolutely 100%. This is the way we're going to play, and there's no deviating from it. But unfortunately, the results, and particularly that early part of the game last night, a good team like Club Brugge fully exploited the spaces and the gaps. And as I said, if it wasn't for an unbelievable save from Jack Butland, they would have been 4-0 down at half time, And so, and I think the other thing is when you come out after the game and you say, I was proud of the players, I think that sticks in the throat of some of the Rangers fans are thinking, well, what are you actually proud of? The fact that they didn't capitulate in the second half? That should never be the case for a team like Rangers anyway, Ibrox.
Ross, you've been on the show most weeks, and I wondered if Ian's first sort of sentence maybe is the most relevant one here, where he says, we saw this coming. If Rangers had started well in the league and beaten Motherwell and beaten Dundee and beaten Alloa 5-0 and had a real swagger about them, and then they come unstuck against a good European side in Club Brugge, I think the reaction would be very different, wouldn't it? It's like the full package, although last night's the bit that we're talking about. It's that full package, it feels.
Yeah, I think if you want to take it to when Ange came in at Celtic, he wanted to adopt a certain style of play and stuff. It didn't start very well for him, but the difference between what he was doing and what Russell Martin's doing is the Celtic fans seen signs. Yeah. I think that maybe they won one game 5-1.
I think they got a couple of sixes in between the sticky ones.
So, so the fans had something to go on, whereas apart from probably the first leg against Victoria Plzeň, first leg at home at Ibrox, that's really the only time that the Rangers fans would give their team any pass marks at all this season. Poor against Motherwell, poor against Dundee, weren't overly convincing against Alloa. Panathinaikos, I'll be honest, I think they got a little bit lucky there. I think with better finishing, Panathinaikos may have knocked them out. So there's nothing really to go on for the Rangers fans, so I totally understand what Ian's saying. And
I think also, Gordon, you look at the stats, the amount of shots that Rangers have faced in all of those games, as Ian said, they're wide open, and I think the stats don't lie in that particularly. Yes, and sometimes stats can be a bit deceiving, but they are very open, and I think that's okay if you're scoring a bundle of goals. But if you're not, you're taking an unbelievable risk at the back.
We seriously at that stage though, Ian, that saying the manager, you're done already. No faith here at all that this is a learning process.
No, absolutely not. Honestly, I was more than willing to give him a chance. I think even though he was never first choice in a lot of supporters' minds, he got the job. And if you could see some shoots of positivity, or you could see something, it just seems to, as Jim said, he seems to come in with his philosophy. If we keep the ball, then we don't need to defend. That's good enough. If we keep the ball, they can't score. But the point is, we keep losing the ball. We haven't got the players to play. I don't know. I don't know if we've got the players to play the way he wants to play, or he's deflating the players, or they just don't look confident in what they're doing. And right now, I would get rid of him. I just can't see any way forward with him. And I would go for the St Mirren manager. Honestly, I think he'd be a great shout. A guy who's a good man manager, knows the game, and he knows how to set up a team.
Can Rangers keep doing this though, Ian? Like, I know it was bad last night, I know it's not been great, but worth repeating, this is the 20th of August, the transfer window's not even closed, the club was taken over in the summer, it's a new era, all these new players are signed. How can Rangers keep doing this, keep starting the season slow, keep sacking a manager, on and on and on? Surely at some point, and I know it's so hard because you'll have been a Rangers fan for many, many years and you've got standards and all that sort of stuff, and I get it, you've got to keep winning games, but surely at some point you need to just like dig in even a little bit, no?
Well, no with this guy. Honestly, other managers have come in, maybe they've got off to a good start and then it's kind of fell by the wayside. Philip Clement didn't do too bad when he came in. Had some promising results in Europe and stuff like that. But with this guy, there's absolutely nothing. And I get what you're saying. And you're right that we can't keep sacking manager after manager after manager.
There has to be a degree, a degree of consistency in terms of, you know, how Rangers are going to progress. And that's from the new owners. And I would like to hear, I'm not saying right this weekend, because obviously it's raw after the game, but maybe perhaps after the tie before the Old Firm game, maybe the new owners coming out and saying, listen, this is the direction we see the club going in. Either, I'm not saying it's going to appease the fans, but I think it might take a little bit of the heat off the manager if they say this is the direction we're going in, we're going to stick by them. But if there's nothing from the background, Gordon, you know what I mean, then the manager's always the one that's going to get asked these questions.
Is it just a given though? Because I know the way that, I mean, I see the phone line still lighting up and the temperature in the city, but should it be just a given at this point? Like, is there genuinely a question over Russell Martin at that level? I get why fans are asking questions, but do you know what I mean? We actually at that stage where it needs the old vote of confidence.
I wouldn't have thought so, but I tell you what, after the Old Firm game, I genuinely don't fancy them to go to St Mirren and beat St Mirren. If St Mirren beat Rangers, then they're out of Europe, and then the first Old Firm game they lose, are 10 points behind already. I think at that point then...
Well, big period coming up, that's for sure. Well, thank you, Ian, and bring in John as well before we move on. John, give us all your thoughts, take it away.
Hello, I'll tell you what it is, Gordon. I've got a list in front of me which my dad told me I would never ever do. Right, there is only four players out of 15 regarding last night who gets pass marks regarding the performance.
Go for it.
Right, there's Gassama, I've got it here in front of me, 4.4, Moore, 4.0, Butland, 4.0, and the next guy is Jay McDamana. Tell me this, why is Russell Martin so afraid to put Hageman on for the start? I love that boy. He would do anything for Rangers. And yet we've got three lone players in defence who don't really care, and the rest of them just run about like heedless chickens. I mean, that boy should go on for the start, in my opinion.
I think Russell Martin said he wasn't tempted to start him because of
his injuries,
coming back from injury and so on. The Rangers do have an issue boiling there, though, don't they?
Yeah.
Because we don't know what Desser's fitness yet. It shouldn't be too long, but is he going to stay? Is Hageman going to stay? Actually, do you know what? Forget the fitness. Listening to Russell Martin, do you think he trusts Hageman to play in his way and sort of be a number nine?
Hageman's a maverick, you know. I mean, he's a player, he's a crowd pleaser, but he's not always the most structured player, if you want to call it that, you know, to play in a system. And if he wants quite a rigid system in terms of how he wants to play, then Hageman, you know, is a guy at times plays off the cuff, but that's also endears him to supporters because he does things that no other player on the pitch can do. And I think he's an absolute... He should be an absolute shoo-in to play for Rangers at this moment in time, whether you play him off the front or whether you play him up front and let him just have freedom to go and play. But he's the type of player for me that Rangers have to have in the team if he's fit and available. But he's also a player that's created a lot of interest, and there is interest in him. And that the other side of that is the business side from Rangers.
Crucially, no bids yet, though.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because when you're not doing so well and you're then contemplating selling one of the fans' favourite players, then you're obviously it doesn't matter how much money you're going to bring in, you're going to bring in criticism alongside that. So it's difficult for Russell Martin because that's probably out with his control, that side of it.
What did you make of the team, Ross, and the personnel? Because it feels like we don't really quite know what the strongest 11 is. You know, we mentioned it last night when the team comes out. So the big calls a few weeks ago was Tavernier and Raskin come out the team. But now Raskin's back in the team, but Tavernier isn't. On a night like that, Max Aarons has now pretty much been seen as the number one. Had no choice but to put Jaden McGoma in at left back, who actually did pretty well in comparison to a lot of his teammates. So what did you make of the team?
Do you know what I will say first, which worries me even more? The fact that a 4 out of 10 is a pass mark. 4 out of 10 for me is...
I must admit, I don't know what John's scoring system is on that, so I just let that go over my head.
No, but the team, I know, obviously, he probably keeps this show going, doesn't he, James Tavernier, for all the opinions that everyone's got, but I'm seriously baffled why every new manager comes in and all the fans want Tavernier out of the team. I can't get it. I would... It'd been my starting Rangers 11 every single game without fail.
I think if Max Aarons shows signs of being better than him, then people would get on board with it. But I suppose the jury's maybe out as to whether that is the case yet.
Yeah, I mean, he can show signs that he's good, but I'll tell you what will never happen. He'll never get to the numbers that James Tavernier posts every single year, goals, assists.
So he's going to have to do significantly... He's a top goal scorer already. He's going to have to do significantly better in other departments. And like I say, we've probably not seen that yet.
Well, the only other department's defensively, and Rangers are leaking goals just now. So obviously that's not... he's not quite doing that. I'm not saying it's all down to him. Of course it's not. We're not trying to apportion some blame to the boy coming up. And he is a good player, Max Aarons. But as Ross said, is he better? And it also seems a wee bit strange because you would think James Tavernier looks almost exactly the type of player that Russell Martin would like in his team because he's so comfortable on the ball.
Let me ask John, how do you feel about the manager at the moment, John?
No, mate. I'm not angry with Ranger. I'm angry with Ross. How dare you say that? Tavernier isn't good enough, mate. He showed time and time again he's not good enough. And don't question my statistics. I've got them in front of me. Danilo, Raskin, Suter, Adman, Aarons, Cameron. 3.5, 3.7. That's UEFA statistics.
Is this out
no,
of 10?
I'm not questioning your statistics. I'm saying, why is a 4 out of 10 regarded as a good performance, a pass mark? That's abysmal, 4 out of 10.
Embarrassing.
John, does Max...
When has a Celtic player ever got a 4 out of 10?
What?
When has a Celtic player ever got a 4 out of 10?
I genuinely no idea because I'm not familiar with this grading system, but let me very quickly ask you, John, You fancy Max Aarons to play over James Tavernier at the moment?
1,000,000%, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to John on the line. Plenty more where those came from. Get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Ross McCormick are here at 0141 951 1025. What they don't know is they're on a half fee tonight because they're just going to need to sit back. There's so many calls here. Don't even need us to say anything. No. We should just do them back to back. Just roll on.
Fans back to back and then let them sort out.
Celtic game to get to as well. But Joe is a Rangers fan. Sum up how you felt last night, Joe.
There's so many words. I'm not suitable for radio panel. And just absolutely deflated, disgusted. I mean, I've been going to Ibrox for over 35 years and I have seen us play Bayern Munich, Juventus, Barca, Man United, you name it. I have never seen us dismantled so quickly and so easily as we were in the first 19 minutes. I don't see any positives for the game. I mean, the boy that played the left back, the guy that was chucked in, is it McGoma?
Yeah.
I thought he did all for some, for going by everything else that had happened to the lad, just getting chucked in, etc. I think the boy did well. But I just thought the jersey, as I said when I called last week, the jersey's heavy on a lot of these lads' backs and they're not good enough, they're not suitable, and they're no Rangers players. Russell Martin, I mean, I'm not calling for his head. I know so many Rangers fans are calling for his head. We need to stop this. We can't just keep changing managers every year because it's no good. It costs us money and payoffs, etc. Then we go through the rebuild process again, which is, we just kind of keep doing that every summer. But, I mean, there was guys round about me, when that second goal went in 7 minutes, there was guys left. And then when the third goal went in, there was a load more people left. And then at half-time when everybody was booing, there was guys left again. The fans are going to start voting with their feet because I believe they're asking too much of us. They're asking too much of us. I'm all for we need to go through this period. I mean, I'm a realist. I mean, anybody that thought we were going to win the league of that this season, I mean, that's a joke. That was never going to happen. But I think we expected a bit more of a challenge. If you were going through a rebuild and you're trying to reshape the team and you're trying to play different tactics and that, and you can see some positives, you're thinking, right, okay, we can take something away from this. And I would happily give them time. But you're watching these performances and you're thinking, we're actually, I mean, as I heard one of your callers earlier on saying, we're going worse. We are actually going backwards. We're not going forwards. And then he's got the cheek. He's playing for the Philip Clement playbook where he comes out after the game. He's obviously been watching a game on FIFA or something, because there's no way he's watched the game that we've just watched. And you're thinking to yourself, do you think we are stupid? Do not treat 52,000 fans as stupid. We watched that game. Max Ahrens was woeful. Woeful. Joe Rothwell, side to side, back to back. No end product. No end product. And then he comes on and says in the press conference, it was Joe Rothwell's best game and Max Ahrens' best game. But, I mean, what is he watching? What is he watching? The Rangers fans are tired. All we want to see, again, like I say, I'm a realist. I want to see improvement. I want to see us. We've made a lot of signings. If you could turn in and say, you know what, we're going in the right direction here. We can see what he's trying to do. We can understand what he's trying to do. You're sitting in these stands and you're thinking, what is he doing? The players are wandering about as if they don't know what they're meant to be doing. And again, the second half, we were better, yes. I mean, the damage was done in the first half. But in the second half, we were better. We played mostly 25 yards, 30 yards for their goal, where we constantly had the ball and they were defending. But there's nobody there to break them down. There's nobody there that can do like a nice pass. There's nobody there that was going to take the ball on and charge at them and get in about it. Now, I heard your previous caller talking about Egerman. Now, he's apparently had an injury, etc., etc. I would have let Egerman on for the first 60 minutes to run them ragged and then brought Danilo on if we have to. Danilo's another one that runs about. I mean, he's probably top at every chart for statistics, for ground covered, for distance covered, etc., etc. There's no end product for the guy. Okay, scored the goal, but there's no end product. Dessers by a country mile is a far superior player to Danilo, and so is Egerman. And I am very, very, very concerned. I've never been as worried as I mean, everything we went through in the last 13 years, our worst period in our history ever, I have never been more worried than I am just now, because potentially, I know it's all ifs and buts and maybes, but St Mirren, a better drilled team, a better organised team than us, I would not be surprised if they beat us or we draw with them at the weekend. We're going to go out of Europe next week because we're not going to go to Belgium and score more goals than them. Celtic have this ability to win games, which we just don't seem to be able to do. Then we play Hearts and Hibs. And I'm looking at these games thinking, I don't expect us to get anything out of these games at all. And it's very, very concerning.
I suppose the beauty of football management is Russell Martin will be looking at that as a period where you can flip all of this stuff on its head. You know, come out of Bruges with some respectability. There are loads of times over the last, certainly the last season or the last couple, where you've thought Rangers have had no chance against Celtic and then they go and surprise you. So I'm sure he'll be viewing it differently, but I totally understand why Joe feels the way he does. Ross, in terms of the second half, so Russell Martin seemed to take a lot of heart from it, from the response. Other people maybe would say, well, that yes, it was better, but ultimately the bar was really low in the first half and you were 3-0 down anyway, so then the game's sort of gone. How positives were there any? How much would you lean into the second half?
In the grand scheme of things, probably not a lot. Probably a case of they're 3-0 up as well, so they're probably preserving a little bit of energy as well. So in the last half an hour of games as well, they're always different really to the first hour, so it's hard to take much from it, but they've got to take something from it as a squad, because there's not many other positives floating about the building at the minute. So the fact that they can probably dominate a second half against Bruges, they've got to take some confidence from that, because really you cannot go over to Bruges next week not believing that they can't overturn this deficit. They've got to believe they can do it.
I think Joe's concern obviously with the games ahead, but I think as I think it was Ian or John earlier on was saying, if you see you know, a club moving forward. And you see, as you say, shoots of recovery in terms of, you know, what direction they're going in, then you might go there with a little bit more belief. But I think it might be the first time in many, many years that Rangers are going to go to Paisley and in the eyes of a lot of the Rangers fans, not be favourites. And there should be huge favourites, really, normally, when they go to places like that. But because of St Mirren and the job that Stevie Robinson has done, and obviously winning, beating the Hearts and penalties and get to the quarterfinals of the League Cup and that as well, there's a real belief there and a real structure, and Stevie's been there. That, and the other side of it, can show you that if you stick with managers and if you allow them to build something, you can get there. But with Rangers, it's how long do you give a manager before the fans ultimately can turn it? And then when the majority of fans turn, it's always hard, Gordon, to turn them back around again. But as you mentioned, this next month could actually define Russell Martin's Rangers career. If he surprises people, and I'm not saying they'll go and beat Bruges away, but if they have a really good performance and then they have good performances in the league alongside that and amongst these teams, that you, as you've mentioned, then, you know, obviously that can get the fans back on side. So I think the next month is huge in terms of not only how Rangers progress as a football club, but how Russell Martin's viewed in amongst the majority fans, of Rangers fans.
Well, you could hear the passion from Joe, the frustration. What about Stephen in Eaglesham? What's your take on it all, Stephen?
Well, I'm not going to be too knee-jerk about the whole thing, but I think he's got one game to save his job, and it's this weekend.
If that's no knee-jerk, Stephen, I don't know what it is.
This is a different part of the footballing world, this, isn't it?
But what I would say is this, and I think we're getting caught up in a bit of hysteria to a point, right, because Bruges are a top-quality outfit, and really, for 70 minutes of the game, you know, it wasn't too bad. We did compete and things like that. Obviously, some horrendous mistakes. And these are the kind of games where I'm okay with Russell Martin taking time. You know, that's acceptable. Even, dare I say, you know, the Celtic game that's coming up, they've got a settled squad. They've got the same manager for the last few years. That was always going to be a tough game as well. We've got, you know, a full new team, effectively new manager, apparently quote unquote dynamic style. But ultimately, for me, we've had good spells in Europe and we've had good results. We're in the Europa League group stage. That's all that mattered. He's achieved, for me, a win in Europe this season, because that's all we needed to guarantee for me to be happy. And if we get some scuddings along the way, that's fine. You know, but what is utterly, utterly unforgivable? Look, we need to forget about Celtic in Europe for the time being, because it's not fair to judge him in that to a point. We need to give him a bit of time for that. But drawing at Motherwell and being lucky to come away with a draw, no offence about that one.
I'm getting fed up with this. Everybody keeps saying no offence. It's getting very offensive.
Dundee at home. Now, let's look at it. Last season, we had a squad who bettered Celtic head-to-head. We absolutely scudded them on a couple of occasions, right? Now, we've just, including the loan value of players like Giga, 10 million, Moore, 18 million, etc., Aarons, we've brought in 50 million worth of talent, and on top of a squad with guys like Raskin, you know, flying for Belgium and things like that. We're welcoming Dundee to Ibrox, and they're coming away with a draw, and we were lucky to get a draw out of that. That is utterly unacceptable. And I don't care what anybody says, and I know squad values don't always matter when it comes into football. Sometimes it's about heart, sometimes you've been unlucky. The manner of the performances against these teams in Scotland is utterly unforgivable, and we must beat St Mirren this weekend. If we don't beat St Mirren, in my mind, he's off. That's it.
Wow. I think it's actually, I was thinking,
and that wasn't a knee-jerk from Stephen.
I was thinking about this today, though. I think Stephen makes an interesting point, because Russell Martin said, you know, you have to have, you know, pain before you get the change, and I think he's right. You know, overall, like generally speaking, look at where Rangers have been over the last 15 years. He hasn't taken over a successful team. He's been appointed for a reason. They've had to rip everything up for a reason. So I think overall that statement is true. But it does seem like the pain bit has just been, it's been too sore so far. If your pain is, listen, you might go to Tynecastle and drop some points, you might go to Pittodrie and drop some points, Hibs might come to Ibrox and make it difficult for you, I think Rangers fans would probably put up with that. But so far, if Dundee are going to come, it's so early on in Motherwell's new regime and they're trying to play an attractive bit, and they managed it okay. So it probably just feels like this pain that Russell Martin speaks of, he's right, but it's just been a bit too severe for the Rangers fans so far.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think Stephen's got the point, because both Motherwell and Dundee had new managers that came in the summer and they, you know, changed their team and changed their style of play. Stephen Presley's, I think, openly said that he went in with a kind of almost like a back four philosophy, but he didn't have the players, so it had to be a back three. And he got a lot of criticism, obviously, for a couple of the results, in particular in the Cup, you know, losing in those games. But they did go to Ibrox and played like a team who understood their roles and knew their jobs and, you know, looked a little bit more, balanced and a little bit more understanding of what they were trying to do. Motherwell, similar. We played very good football under their new manager. So I think he's right. If you take the Bruges game, which is a much bigger level, you could maybe understand, even if Rangers were a lot better, that they could lose that game against Bruges. That, I'm not saying it's acceptable, but it's understandable. Whereas against Motherwell and Dundee, you're certainly looking for, listen, you can lose some points, there's no doubt about it, but performance levels, those two teams looked as if they had a little bit more about them, and I think that's the ones that are sticking in the Rangers fans' throats just now.
This is what forgiveness and generosity looks like in Glasgow. Stephen is going to give Russell Martin time till Saturday, so there we go. We're going to get the Celtic team next, so Celtic fans, listen carefully, give us your reaction. As soon as we do, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Now don't get me wrong, Make Me a Winner rises well above any football rivalries. It does not discriminate depending what team you support, but I'm listening to the calls so far, it sounds like some of you could do with being cheered up. Can you imagine it? £548,000. And it was Stuart in Paisley, just along the road, who won it last Friday. He's already got the cash in the bank. So if you want to get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, you text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. And those calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. An online entry in the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. You're getting closer to running out of time, so don't leave it last minute. Lines close 5pm Friday. You just answer your phone and the £548,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormack and Jim Duffy are here. Lots of angry reaction coming in from Ibrox last night. If you've got a different view on it, maybe you are a bit more looking at the big picture, maybe you're agreeing with Russell Martin that things will come good and that sort of stuff, then do get that side of the argument over to us. We'd like to hear it. We've got a huge game for Celtic tonight. What does the team look like, Andrew McLean?
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers has made six changes coming into this game from the team that beat Falkirk here in the Premier Sports Cup. Out goes Sinisalo, Murray, Trusty, Engels, McCowan and Kenny. In comes Schmeichel, Carter Vickers, Scales, Hitati, Negrin and Ida. So it is Adam Ida that's chosen to lead the line. James Forrest keeps his place as well after starting against Falkirk. Benjamin Negrin continues in midfield. So it's Kasper Schmeichel in goal for them tonight. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Rayo Hitati and Benjamin Negrin. It's James Forrest and Daizen Maeda either side of Adam Ida. The substitutes for Celtic tonight, Sinisalo, Simpson Pusey, Trusty, Yang, McCowan, Shin, Osmond, Kenny, Engels, Bernardo, Murray and Ralston.
Well, there you go, Celtic fans, this game is huge, but it's played against the backdrop of all these arguments about the transfer business. So you line up with Adam Ida leading the line, Daizen Maeda up there as well, and James Forrest was the other one, wasn't it? So what do you make of that? Connor is a Celtic fan. Connor, a bit of a spoiler, I think you were calling to say your suggestions for the team and now we've got it already. So did you get what you wanted?
Pretty much, yeah. I did say to the guys that I was at Celtic Park today, I was talking to them and they were asking me what's the predictions and how I'm feeling confident and stuff, and I did say obviously that lineup. So that's something.
Is that the best front three available at the moment, would you say?
Yeah, I'd kind of say that's a bit. As I say, I'm still not so sure about Adam Eder, but I suppose I've just got to give the lot of time, ain't you?
Jim, listen, we know where we are because we've debated it every night. There was a, it had to be an imperfect solution. It had to be Adam Eder, who's maybe not firing the way Celtic fans would want, or you know, James Forrest, who, as brilliant as he's been, you know, is probably getting to that stage in the career. We maybe don't think he starts these big Champions League games. Is that the front three you would have gone for?
I actually thought he might have left Ingles in the middle of the pitch, put Nigrin to the right. I still think he might have played Forrest actually, but on the left, and put Maida through the middle and left Eda out. But obviously, you know, as Connor's mentioned there, and Andrew's just told us, the team with Adam Eda, Forrest and Maida, you know, I just think that, you know, he has to start, I mean, Adam Eda, he really has to start to grab his jersey with the scruff of the neck and say to the Celtic fans and say to the Celtic manager, I can do this and I'm good enough. I think, yeah, we know he is young, but he's been there long enough now. He was at a loans period. He's, you know, he's obviously the permanent deal, all these type of things. But he hasn't fully convinced everybody yet that he is the number nine for Celtic. And that's obviously part of the reason why Celtic, and you know, are still looking in that whole front area. They're looking for more wide players. Obviously, Jota being injured. Yang's not quite developed into the consistency that they can... He should have done, maybe, perhaps. And that's the reason why James Forrest is still there. So there's still questions to be asked about that front line. Although, don't ask Brendan Rodgers anymore because he's fed up hearing that. And I can get that as well from his point of view. But he also has to understand that Celtic's a huge club of huge interest to all the fans. And they're desperate, as he is, to bring in more reinforcements of a certain quality. And not just guys like Pusey and Inamura and guys like that who have got potential. You know, he wants guys to go in and really push those guys that are starting 11 tonight.
Ross, does that all amount to it being a big night for Adam Eder then, especially if we are talking about the aim for Celtic tonight is not only to win but to win well? The number nine surely carries a lot of that.
Yeah, you would think that he would have a big game tonight. You would. It was interesting there listening to what Jim would have done with the team. I just think if you take Maeda away from that left hand side and then you bring Nygren on the right as well, you lose so much of Celtic's threat. The threat is out wide. For me, James Forrest, behind Maeda, he's probably the best available winger there still. Even if Yang's fully fit and firing, I would still take James Forrest every day of the week over.
No, I agree with you, you know, that, Ross, in terms of where the team is just now, but I'm just saying, if you look at it, I just don't,
because Adam Eder hasn't
you know, really set the head on fire this season. Listen, he brings something different, you know that. He brings defenders towards the ball, and that leaves space for the likes of Maida and Forrest to get in behind. Nigrin is shown as a real threat. Hatate, as we know, scored a phenomenal goal the other year against Aberdeen. So, you know, they do have the threats from midfield and the wide areas, and Eder does play a different type of role, perhaps. But I think as a Celtic centre forward, Celtic will always create chances and usually a host of chances, and he's got to take a higher percentage than he's currently done.
Connor, have you got like a score line in mind? Is it that simple that you want to have a good lead going over to Kazakhstan?
I would say Celtic probably 3-2. If Celtic hit the ground running the way that Club Brugge did against Rangers last night, then I think we'll be comfortable. But I think if it's like half an hour in and we're starting to struggle a wee bit, then I'll get concerned. But I think from the line out, as I say, James Forrest, he's still got a lot to give to the club and still really fit as well. So that's a kind of boost as well down the wings as well for crossing it into Eder and Maeda and stuff like that as well. I think Tierney as well, that would be good for him coming back to the Champions League as well. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the thing, that the Kieran Tierney signing was so long ago and has almost been overshadowed by, you know, the failures in the forward departments, because he's now going to line up in a European game for the first time in 7 years for Celtic. I was interested listening to Callum McGregor yesterday. I thought he put it really well, because Brendan Rodgers is the one who's been kind of hammering the message of making the first leg count, ultimately getting a good lead. So remember what happened the last time, Astana, they won 5-0. But there was a time in the second leg where, as Andrew McLean said, it got really, really ropey. But Callum McGregor, he actually ended up coming in and giving a more balanced view and talking about the key is actually to manage both legs better. So maybe don't worry too much if it's not a cricket score tonight. just be better when you. Yeah,
it's
you
always difficult, Gordon, because you look at the quality position. We don't know too much about Carra, other than the fact is that they beat Bratislava. Apparently, when we achieved Bratislava last year, Celtic were, you know, comprehensively miles better than that. So you would imagine, you know, again that Celtic should be considerably better. If Celtic score a couple of early goals tonight, I expect them to win convincingly by a 3-goal margin. If they do that, then I think that that would be more than enough. Yeah, you're right. They then have to go and manage it better with the whole travelling thing. But I don't think the travelling situation is quite as, you know, the same as it used to be because of the type of players. If you look at Celtic's squad now, it's got players from all over the world. So they're used to doing a lot of travelling these days.
They've come here.
Same thing.
Celtic players ain't going to be queuing to get on an easy jet flight.
No, that's what I'm saying.
First class, feet up.
They're used to travelling as well, Ross. Now, you mean the international 7, players?
7,000 miles is about what you do in a week. Anyway, out in the roads. Every time I look at social media, he's on the roads, this guy. I'm saying that, you're sitting next to another professional driver. So, anyway, right. Thank you very much to Connor. Get your thoughts in, Celtic fans. Is that the right team? Is that what you would have picked? And is there still a frustration that you maybe don't have reinforcements to call upon tonight? Get them in and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yep, let's do it. Beat the Pundit, 01419511025. The lines close at 7, so you have to be quick. You can take on Jim Duffy or Ross McCormick and try and win a signed ball. So do it now and we'll get to you next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy are here. There has been so much reaction. No one's sworn yet, which is impressive after last night's game at Ibrox.
Keep it that way.
I was going to say there's still time, but I don't want this. It's not some sort of challenge. No. Just forget that I said that. But keep your reaction coming in to the game at Ibrox last night. We've got a huge game at Celtic Park as well, same stage of the competition. We've given you the Celtic team. So Celtic fans, what are you thinking? How are you feeling tonight? How important is it you do get that cushion? Is that the right team? Or are you still just frustrated that there aren't other players in to help out the team tonight? Get your calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy are standing by. Not to put extra pressure on you, but a couple of tens recently.
Ooh.
Roger Hannah got the 10, Roger, on Monday.
That's not a shock.
But I'll give you a shock. Hugh Keevans got a 10 last Tuesday. Gordon DL was sick. Hugh Keevans was the super sub and he got a 10. Incredible. Yeah.
This just shows you age is no barrier to intelligence.
Absolutely. Well, something like that. Stephen is in air. How are you, Stephen?
Not bad, yeah.
Boys get more chance. A 3-0 Celtic win tonight. Are you beating the Pundit?
Oh, definitely Celtic 3-0.
Not fancy your chances?
We'll see.
Okay, that sounds like just about the right level of confidence to me. Never played before though, have you?
No.
Right, okay. Let's toss the coin. If it is the blue side of the brand new Beat the Pundit coin, it will be Jim Duffy. This is the first time you've seen this.
Yes. Oh,
it's magnificent, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes, very impressive.
Zenith coins.
The hole in the table
weight,
now.
The weight in that thing.
It's like the big coin in was it Tipping Point? Well, that one gets slides off.
Exactly, right. I'll call you. Who is it that does that? Is it Ben Shepherd or something?
Ben Shepherd.
Anyway, blue side is Jim Duffy, red side is Ross McCormick. Marvin Bartley says he doesn't like it because the coin's so big he can see straight away who it is. So shut your eyes if you want. It is the red side. It's Ross McCormick. You're not having this, are you? You've had a rough day.
No, do you know what? I have a theory on that coin. I said it to Andrew on Sunday as well. I believe that whatever side you start on, so if it's shown red,
okay,
it'll be blue.
You want to test that out?
So yeah, this should be blue.
Oh, he's right. Yes, anyway, Ross will play Stephen in air, so we'll give Ross something else to listen to. Stephen, you probably know the rules by now, but anyway, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. You're welcome to pass and move on if you want.
Perfect.
All good? Good man. All right, 30 seconds then, going on your clock, and your time starts now. Aaron Hickey joined Brentford from which club?
Hearts.
Which team do Hibs face in the next round of Europa Conference League?
League at Warsaw.
Ian McCall, Dick Campbell, Jackie McNamara have all managed which club?
Dundee United.
Dear Scotland is a new book released by which Scotland Hall of Famer?
Pass.
Who was Celtic's first English manager?
Pass.
Who did Russell Martin manage more games for, Swansea or Southampton?
Southampton.
Rhys McCabe left his management job at which team last week?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Ross McCormick. Can you hear us? You ready, Ross? Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Aaron Hickey joined Brentford from which club?
Bologna.
Which team do Hibs face in the next round of Europa Conference League?
Oh, pass.
Ian McCall, Dick Campbell and Jackie McNamara all managed which club?
Partick Thistle.
Dear Scotland is a new book released by which Scotland Hall of Famer?
Gordon Strachan.
Who was Celtic's first English manager?
English manager, oh, pass.
Who did Russell Martin manage more, Swansea or Southampton?
Swansea.
Rhys McCabe left his management job at which team last week?
Airdrie.
Name any SPFL team who's got no points in the league so far. Quick.
No, I Dunfermline.
Okay. Stephen, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
Dunfermline. Oh, he's done there.
You sure?
Aye.
Love that.
That was terrible.
Are you happy with your performance here, are you?
I'm not happy with my performance, but if he thinks I've beat him, I'm happy with that.
Okay, right, let's go through them. Let's go through them. We've got the first one. Aaron Hickey joined Brentford from which club? Oh, you dived in a bit, Stephen, didn't you? It's a yellow. It's just a yellow for me. Just a bit over eager in the tackle. It was Bologna. They were thinking Hearts, which is where he came for. It came from first, of course. So it was Bologna. 1-0 to Ross McCormick. However, Stephen did equalise straight away. Which team do Hibs face in the next round of Europa Conference League? It's Legia Warsaw. No, yeah. However, again, end-to-end stuff. Ian McCall, Dick Campbell, Jackie McNamara have all managed Partick Thistle. Ross McCormick gets it, goes 2-1 in front. None of you knew Dear Scotland is a new book by
Alex McCoist.
Ali McCoist. Yeah. Celtic's first English manager was John Barnes. None of you got that, but Ross still 2-1 in front. Who did Russell Martin manage more games for, Swansea or Southampton? What did you say again, Stephen?
Southampton.
Yeah, isn't it?
Not Swansea. Even the 50-50s were going in Ross's favour. 99-80, apparently. So Ross stretching ahead and he even had time to wrap it up. Rhys McCabe left his job at Airdrie. You surprised at that, Jim? You're obviously in the championship with Kings Park.
Yeah, I was very surprised because he's done a terrific job there, Rhys, and they play some terrific football as well. But you know, for whatever his reasons, I know he's wanted to spend some time, and it is a very demanding job. Of course, being a player and a manager is even more demanding, but he maybe just thinks that time is right to have a little bit of a breather.
And you even had time to get the last one wrong. Name any SPFL team still remaining.
Aberdeen.
Pointless. Aberdeen, yeah. Stranraer, or Edinburgh City are in minus 11. Yeah. I don't know if that counts in any way.
I should have said Aberdeen, that's what was in my head. But yeah. I thought when you said SPFL, I thought that was championship.
Only lowlies. Yeah. No, that's them all. So there we go. Anyway, it was a convincing win. A 1-2-3-4-2 win, I think, for Ross McCormick. Hard lines, Stephen. What are you thinking about your team tonight then?
Just what you said earlier, I think 3-0. 3-0 does.
You happy enough with the team when you hear it like that, or is there still that nagging frustration at not having players in?
It's definitely a start of frustration. I agree with Jim earlier. I actually think he should have went Nigrin on the right with Maeda through the middle and Forrest on the left, because I thought Engel's performance against Folk, it was class. Everybody put in was phenomenal, so I think he'll feel hard done by not being in the team, but you've just got to trust the process and hope it all comes to plan.
This is where it feeds into it, Jim, because it's all linked. The clamour for signings currently is also linked to maybe the fact that signings last season haven't quite had the impact, you know, because you want, if that's the right word, Dyson Maeda to play up front. So does Stephen. I mean, Adam Maeda cost 9 million and he's had that. So the loan season under his belt, now a full season, he should, and I know football doesn't work that way, but he should be primed and ready to spearhead Celtic in the Champions League this season, shouldn't he?
He scored a decent number of goals last year, I'm not saying, but this year he hasn't. You know, I just feel that when you're a player, I mean, Ross has been a player at, you know, huge clubs, when you're a player and they know they're targeting, you know, players in your area, in your position in the forward area, but you've got the jersey, and particularly a club at Celtic, you've got to take that opportunity. You've got to throw that, you know, to accept that gauntlet's been thrown down and say to the manager, I don't care who you bring in, I'm your number one striker. And I just feel as if the boy hasn't done that enough. You know, he's not convinced Brendan Rodgers or the Celtic fans that he is. And I forget the price tag. That's not his problem. That's other people who decide the price tag. I'm just talking about, you know, making that impact on the pitch, that says, I'm going to be your number one striker. And that's part of the reason, I think, why Brendan Rodgers has quite openly come out and said, we need strengthening at the top end of the pitch. But he needs, if you want to call it, you know, guys who are ready to go in and not, you know, always the potential signings that, that as I said, these likes of Pusey and Amura and stuff like that, and guys like that have come in. He needs a couple of guys who he can bank on to go in and play possible Champions League. Obviously, Kairat tonight, they've got to get through that tie. But if they do get through that tie, then they're back in the Champions League, you know, league stages again. And that's when you need guys who are not potential, who, you know, you can pretty much rely upon to compete at that level.
Ross, how important is that mindset tonight, where we spoke about it, not getting obsessed, you know, or getting anxious about trying to rack up a big score? See, when you do that as a player, is that a bit, you know, distracting? You just try to focus on the job, because Brendan Rodgers said he wants his teams to go and attack every game anyway.
I don't think they'll change, you know, the way they play. They'll just, probably expect's the wrong word, but they'll definitely want to score a few. But I don't think they'll panic if they, you know, they get to 60 minutes and it's only 1-0 or whatever. It's not like he's going to go and then throw four strikers on trying to get second and third and stuff. They'll just play the game as they play every game. But just come back on, it's interesting there listening to Jim about Adam Ida. It's not, the problem with Ida for me is not the goal scoring, because he was in and out of the team last year, he still scored 20 goals. It's every other part of the game this season, from which I've seen, when the balls are coming up to him, his touches bouncing off him, he's not holding it in and doing things like that properly. I think if he brushes up on that, then you'll be looking at Brendan Rodgers. He has got a bit of a decision to make, because Adam Ida, not playing many games last year, scoring 20 goals, if he brushes up on everything else, all of a sudden you've got, you know, you've got a real good striker there too.
Okay, thanks Stephen. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, actually, ahead of that game against Kairat Almaty this evening.
Obviously we haven't experienced this over the last couple of seasons, but this is what this period's about. You want to arrive into these games. This is a massive game. There's always that feeling when I was here first, the big games seemed to be right at the very beginning, and this is exactly what this is, because this tees you up for the rest of your season. So, but I think that amongst a lot of noise and everything else that's gone about Celtic, what we've tried to do as a football team and as a squad is really focus on what we can control, which is getting the players as fit as they possibly can, playing the game technically at a really high level, and what you can start to see is the intensity level going up. So we've had three different types of games so far this season, navigated them very, very well, and our last performance we really played really well. So it's a good platform going into this game.
Okay, Celtic fans, get your calls into us, please. 01419511025. Whilst we're on the subject of hearing from managers, let's hear from Russell Martin and how he felt it went wrong last night. He was particularly critical of their start to the game that they made.
We give them a goal with the first kick of the game in our half, really. It's we concede a crazy goal and don't respond to it anywhere near well enough, and then we concede a goal we shouldn't. So out of, I think, anxiety at that point, conceding that goal in that moment, we don't do our jobs from a set play, which is really frustrating. And then it becomes so difficult. And then after that, make decisions based on, I think, desperation, anxiety, jump when we shouldn't, get played around a bit. So the game plan went out the window, really, at that point. And we needed a moment to calm down and actually refocus and reassess, but it was difficult. So we didn't respond well as a club to that, because we've been hurt really early on in the game. And the lads showed amazing resilience in the second half. The fans were amazing in the second half, considering the first half and the disappointment. And the tie is still open, and the players feel that. In the second half, they really feel that.
Let's bring in William on the line and see what he makes of it tonight, William.
Hello, Gordon, Jim and Ross.
Hello.
Hi, William.
Yeah, well, I came on a couple of months ago, Gordon, right, and I was the guy that stated the league was already by. I conceded to Celtic when we appointed this man, right? And I could stick our friends, family, Rangers fans, even Celtic fans saying that, right, believe it or no, right? What we need to do now is, right, we need leadership. We've made leadership on the park, that's clear. There's no leadership on the side. That's clear as well. Where the leadership needs to come from, right, is the boardroom, right? We need to pull the plug on. The league's not gone yet. We're still in the cup. Champions League's gone. Europa League is still there for us, right? But if we continue with this man as manager, it's just going to get worse. I don't see. He's saying last night, right, it's a privilege to go to Bruges 2-0 down. What is he talking about? It's a privilege. We should be delighted going there with a 2-goal lead. Not a privilege with 2 goals.
I think the point, I know what you're saying, but I think the point he was trying to make is what Panathinaikos were able to do to Rangers and what Pilsen were able to do was just go at it, throw everything at the second leg because they were behind, and he was trying to say that they'll relish the chance to do that. I'm guessing it doesn't make you feel any better after last night.
Gordon, I know you're trying your best, right?
I'm not trying my best at all. I'm just saying that was the point he was trying to make. I don't think he's celebrating losing.
There's some points you're making tonight where you're sticking up for him there, what he was saying, and give him time. I don't want to keep getting rid of Mandels. I don't, right? But this man...
But just this one.
It was an underwhelming appointment. Anyway, I would say 20% of the fan base maybe wanted this man. 80%, maybe lower than that. Maybe 90% didn't want him. You know what I mean? Nothing's been lost yet except the Champions League. We're not going to get through that, right? Everything's still there to play. We need to show leadership. What was lying with keeping the five Scottish boys on? Could they have done any worse, Barry Ferguson's and that? Could they have done any worse than this man? You know what I mean? That's a point a lot of people are bringing up. You know what I mean? Just give them a chance for a year instead of bringing in somebody that doesn't know. He came from, I told you in 2 months, he came from a failed environment at Rangers. He was played in the worst team. Would he bring that to the team they knew and bring it on as a failed player at the worst team? And now it looks like he's bringing his losing mentality to the team at the moment. That's the point.
William's not happy. Thank you to William on the line. Let's squeeze one more in before I bring you guys on. John is next up. John, what are you making of all this you're hearing?
Tell William to keep his smooth to himself, if you don't mind, please, because I'll tell you right now.
The phone-in will not work if we do that, John.
Right, well, put it this way. You see 90% of the fans that are on their back every week, right? We are, right? Fans, Ibrox, disgrace. Walking out the park after half an hour, and he's telling us we're out of Champions League. Well, I'm going to Bruges next week. He should come to Bruges with me. Not mean if he can't. I love these people, but I'll say this: if the players don't know what they're doing, they should go and talk to the manager, because that's what I think. That they don't know what's going on. If they don't get behind, and if the manager's not listening, they go above them. It's a working environment. We're all professionals, right? They're not talking to each other. The second half, we come on to a game. But Ibrox, they're all walking out after half an hour. It's 3-1. We score 2 goals, we're back in it. Hey, listen, Bruges were lucky to get through. And they went home for Salzburg 1-0 up. So they lost.
Do you think the Ibrox environment is toxic, too much for these players,
toxic,
John?
Toxic.
John, toxic. See when you say if the manager's not listen, go above him. Do you mean the players go directly to the owners to speak about about the manager?
You're a big boys. If they can't understand, I can't understand why he plays a left-sided player on the right and a right-sided player on the left. Right? I don't understand that. So, and if the players can't understand it, they've got to talk to him.
See, I'll be honest with you. I was, professional for 18, 19 years and I've never known a player go to the owners behind the managers, but I've just never seen it. I'm not saying that it'll never happen.
They're not going to go behind his back.
They're going to go to Russell Martin and ask Russell Martin's permission to speak to the owners about Russell Martin.
But Russell Martin's not going to listen to him. If he can't understand what his system he wants to play and he's not listening, where else do you go? We can't keep sacking managers and costing us money, right?
Yep, I get that.
And they sit down as a group and sort it out.
I think that's more viable than... I'll be honest, I've never seen a player go to an owner to complain about a manager.
I think owners do go sometimes to a player, sometimes to a captain, perhaps, and try and find out what the environment's like, or, you know, are they buying into what the the manager wants to do. And I think that does happen. I'm not saying I agree with it all the time, but I think it does happen at certain times. But I think, John, the one thing I do agree with you is I think that if the players are not 100% buying into the manager's philosophy, then I don't see it in the matter where, you know, key players, senior players, call it what you like, the captain, normally they've got a kind of senior group, and if it's three or four players, and they go to the manager, say, look, can we have a sit down? Because, you know, we just feel a bit uncomfortable with these aspects of what you're trying to do. The manager may very well say, listen, this is the way I play. You either buy any or you're not playing. That's fine, but at least then I think if you go, there's nothing the matter with players going and speaking to the manager and just seeing if he might tweak it a little bit or he might just soften his approach a little bit.
I'm interested in the...
I don't think Russell Martin will, because I think that we spoke, me and Ross were speaking off air, that I think that he is absolutely determined to stick by this way. But I don't think there's anything the matter with a group of senior players. If you're not 100% buying into it, going and saying, look, can we have a little chat about this?
I'm interested.
Why not?
I'm interested in the stuff about the atmosphere, John, because it sounds like Russell Martin's really calling on the fans to sort of stick with them. There was a line I thought was very deliberate. He said that we didn't react as a club to going behind. Mm-hmm. Now, that to me meant he was including the fans because he felt that they got too anxious and therefore the players got too anxious. How do you stop that, John? Do you think fans can...
How do you stop it? Listen, see at Ibrox. Right, listen. There's a group of us go to every away game, right? And we're the same ones. We're having to beg, steal and borrow tickets because these kind of own fans that go every now and again. Go. We're the ones that go all the time. And we stick by our team. I was at Ibrox when with 3,000 against Partick Thistle. Right? That's so long. I'm 60 this year. Listen, I've been here, seen it and done it, but they've got to the stage now. They're blaming the manager. A manager can only put a team out in the park. It's down to players. The first goal, don't know what the boy is thinking about. That was an amateur blow to me. The second goal, right? Third goal, it wasn't strong enough. And then we pull one back. I'm still dubious about the goal that we chopped off. Had that been, hey, it'd be game on. We wouldn't be sitting at 3-2. We wouldn't be sitting there going, I'm so confident of going out there and scoring.
Fair enough. Don't mind your confidence, John. Thank you. Very quickly on those, actually, in a kind of quick fire style. First goal, Giga's fault, Butland's fault.
Nah, for me, Giga, you're defender, you go and defend. Kick it up and stand and then say to Butland where you are, give me in for us.
Same, yeah, Giga for me.
Second one, set up or individual.
To be honest with you, the staff's got to take a bit of responsibility, because if you're going zonal, you will mark down exactly where. And players, listen, we understand sometimes. The only thing, if you look, I think there's one player along the 6-yard line, one Bruce player, and five Rangers players. So then you've got to look about somebody's then going to say, look, we don't need you, go to the edge of the box.
What do you think? Because the reason I ask is that really brings about this stuff about, is it all individual errors, or is there stuff that management take sort of accountability for as well?
Yeah, but see that one, set up for set pieces, that will be discussed amongst the team and the manager in a meeting. So it's not just the manager. The players are big enough and old enough to turn around and go, actually, why have we got five along this line? There should be one there, maybe try to block a runner and what have you. So.
And to conclude the quickfire section, needs to be quicker than that. The goal that was disallowed, right decision?
No, it's a correct decision by the laws. He's hands on the ball and he kicks it off. So therefore, Ross, that's a free kick.
Yeah. Okay. Right, we'll be back with more of that and ever closer to kick off at Celtic Park when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy are here at 1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This might be the strangest full time teaser we've had. Grant McIver has sent it in. I really hope Grant, I'm sure it's just a bit of fun. He won't mean to disrespect the good people of Kazakhstan. He wants for every letter of the name Borat.
Right, okay.
This is ridiculous. Can you name the player with the most goals for Celtic this century whose surname begins with that letter?
This century.
So we need a B-O-R-A-T. Yeah, that genuinely caught me by surprise. You think I would look at these things before the show starts. So... For B, it is not Burley.
Right, okay.
See if Hugh Keevans comes in. See if Hugh Keevans comes in here and a Mankini in a second. I'm done. I'm gone. Well, out of here forever.
Don't be talking. When I was doing the driving of the guy Tommy Higgins, and he, let's just say, Hugh used to make his blood boil a wee bit. Let's just say.
So no, Tommy,
if
I don't
listening,
believe
if you're heading to the game, because he's always used to take him out of Celtic European games.
Don't believe it.
Brilliant guy, Jamie, a guy, but. You know, let's just say you used to get a wee bit animated with you.
She was a calming influence. Right, so we need a B, right, so an a B, O, an R, so an
not,
A,
not
and a
Harold
T.
Brattback.
Nope.
Surely it couldn't be him.
Well, I don't know. You might, for a B, you might only had to score a couple of goals. You know, you might have scored 10 goals or something.
You
I don't
need
really
a,
know.
You need a fair few to get in this list. Right. The lowest in the list is 27.
Oof. What, 27 goals?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, but maybe O would be an easier place to start because there can't have been many. Any names beginning
like,
with
like
O?
As in O'Donnell?
No, but keep going. 27 goals this guy got. It's not O.
Aye, more than I. Aye. O-H. Let me think. Oh, you're going to give us a bit. It's going to be an O.
Okay. Give you some thinking time. Well, I've got a picture of Borat on the screen as well. Lazy stereotypes, honestly. Right, I'll give you some thinking time. But Grant sent that into fulltime@clyde1.com. Fulltime.
A strange one.
At clyde1.com. Yeah, thanks, Grant. Chris is a Celtic fan. How do you see it going tonight, Chris?
All right, how are you doing, lads? I hope Celtic can fare better tonight than last night. Scotland took a sore one last night. But I just hope we can get the tie done tonight where we can maybe rest some players and just get into the next game as a free hit. That's what I'm hoping, because Livingston's going to come in, set up a block, and then after that we'll get Rangers. Well, this other tie, but I'm expecting this tie to be the three hit. Just think Celtic can maybe keep the clean sheet tonight. I'm asking you the question.
Go on, Jim.
Yeah, I do. I mean, they've only lost one goal, obviously, the Falkirk, which was a fantastic goal for Keelan Adams. But other than that, you know, 2-0 up Aberdeen, 1-0 against St Mirren, you know, and 4-1 against Falkirk. So I think the team's gradually got a little bit better. I mean, they understand it there. And I think other than Negrin, you know, the other players, I mean, Tierney's coming back into the side again, but the other players have been there. There's a real consistency, you know, Chris, from Celtic. So I think defensively, yeah, I can see it being a clean sheet. As I said, I expect Celtic to win 3-0, possibly another one if they get four. But I think if they get to three, I think that's more than enough to go over to Kazakhstan and be comfortable as much as you can be travelling that distance and get through in the tie. So yeah, I'd be majorly surprised if Celtic don't win it comprehensively tonight.
Chris, happy enough with the team?
Did you hear it?
Chris, are you happy enough with the team?
Well, I'm happy enough with the team. I mean, we need to use what we've got. We can't hinky other players, mm-hmm. right, that aren't at the club. So as Roger said, we've got what we've got, we make day with it. I think we've got enough to get through the tie, but my problem is, I think players don't want to come to Celtic to play in Scotland unless we're in the Champions League. I think that's an issue.
Well, listen, that's an interesting theory, Ross. What we will find out then is, the floodgates are going to open then if Celtic can get through this tie? Do they then sign this whole host of players that are, you know, desperate to come for the Champions League? We'll see.
I said that a couple of weeks ago. I believe that might be the case because the mm-hmm. board, by all accounts, they're going to spend money. Brendan wants to spend money, but no one's through the door yet.
It's just that gamble, isn't it? Like, yeah, if this was to go wrong over these two legs.
Yeah. It's a, what is it, 45, 50 million pound gamble?
Yeah, it's
gamble
a minimum
then, really.
40, isn't it? You know, but the thing is, you know, Brendan always said that. I gave you, Chris, some aspects. No, I'm not saying it absolutely guaranteed, but I think if you, because of the way the Champions League is now, you've got this league section now, so you've got the minimum four games, and then you're still going to be, hopefully, in Europe, depending on how you do, even if you don't go further in the tournament. But I do think there is an attraction. I'm not saying it's guaranteed that you would get, you know, players all of a sudden, you know, sprinting to sign with Celtic. But I think it's obviously there is a bigger incentive. If you say, oh, listen, there's Champions League matches ahead of you, then also, listen, players want to play at that level and put themselves again. If it's whether it's Celtic, the UC Celtic is a stepping stone, which I know the fans don't like, but that's the reality of it sometimes. But if you can perform at that level, it gives you a better chance of perhaps going to the golden riches of the English Premiership.
What about Brian? How do you see it tonight, Brian? Thank you, Chris.
Hi, the last year, the bookies very rarely get it wrong. You can actually get 20-1 this team to beat Celtic, which I would imagine ain't going to happen. So we've got to at least win by 3-4 goals, I must say. But myself, I did actually bet Lincoln Red Imps a few years ago at half time, 25-1.
You bet against your own team, Brian?
Money's money.
Did you bet against your own team? I was all asked, Brian. I wasn't asking about where money's money.
No judging.
You bet your head or your heart.
Oh, no, well.
Emotional insurance, I think, sometimes. Like I say, gamble responsibly. But that is interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was quite that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that big, and what that maybe puts into perspective. I don't know. What would that be like? Celtic playing maybe the bottom team in the Scottish Premiership, maybe even beyond.
I don't think you would be 20-1 if you were playing. I mean, Celtic against Livingston this week, for instance, I don't think Livingston would be 20-1.
Yeah, but I mean, the Celtic, if you're trying to get a rough gauge, Celtic played Slovan Bratislava last season. They weren't great. Karatomatis put them out, but it was quite tight. I don't know. I still always just feel like we can overstate these, you know, it's still just two football matches. You know, all it would take was maybe for Celtic to drop their level slightly. And
football's a game where something, you know, can happen. Of course, they can play a long ball over the top, somebody can just grab a jersey, or something can happen, and you know, the whole complexion of the game can change. But just we don't know that we're a wee bit blind to the what kind of qualities we've got. We heard Andrew saying earlier on that they've got a young 17-year-old kid who's going to Chelsea, and that'd be their star player. But other than that, we don't really know too much about them. But you would just think, in comparison to you know, the Bratislava one would be the only one we get. And if that is the case, then Celtic should be significantly better.
We'll find out very soon. Thank you to Brian on the line, 01419511025. We're building up to kick off there at Celtic Park. How much do you think the experience of last season helps or inspires, you know, because like we said, it feels like there's just a little bit of a cloud over this because of the way the squad's looking. You know, that's just the mood I get from Celtic fans, whereas actually, if you were to base it purely on last season, it's the best Celtic have done in the Champions League in a long time. Even in going out, they pushed Bayern Munich very close. You should be excited about the next crack at the Champions League, but I don't know if that's cutting through yet because of everything else.
Yeah, I think they have to get through this tie. I think if you get through this tie, you'll see a different atmosphere. You'll get a sense of a different atmosphere. I think all of the talk leading up to this hasn't been of Kairat, is that how you pronounce it? And, you know, the tie's almost been played second fiddle to the lack of transfer activity. And I think that's been a bit unfair, because this is a huge tie. As Ross has just said there, 40 million at stake here. So, you know, and also, you know, the club stature and all these type of things, European competition, being at the big table again. So I think it's a huge match. But I think if Celtic get through this, and hopefully they do, then I think you might see it differently, Gordon, because then it's the official, if you want to call it that, officially with in the Champions League as opposed to the qualifiers.
Any of your contacts at Fulham ever tell you about Callum Osmond? I'm just interested in that signing, because I noticed, I was just looking through the subs on the bench there, and it's kind of obvious Celtic are well tooled in midfield. Engels, Bernardo, McCowan all could come on, you know, those kind of wide and attacking areas. Yang's in there, Shin, Kenny, Osmond. I've just been really quite interested in that signing, because it doesn't seem to be anywhere near the first team. But if he was similarly distant from Fulham's first, why would you swap Fulham's B team for Celtic's B team, I suppose, is what I was trying to get my head around.
Well, there's probably a process of thought down south where they turn their nose up a little bit at the Scottish game. So you'll be looking at it thinking, right, Fulham are now an established Premier League club. Chances of me getting into that team is probably going to be significantly less at getting into the Fulham team than getting into the Celtic team. But by all accounts, he'd done okay in the under-23s, but what you can take from that, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Simpson Pussy's on there in the bench as well. We've not really seen him yet, but again, Austin Trusty's there. So a few options. Dane Murray, who got a glowing praise from Brendan Rodgers in his press conference yesterday. I don't know if you've heard it. Really seemed to like him. But acknowledged that he is competing with Cameron Carter-Vickers for that slot. So there's strength in areas there for Celtic, just maybe not in all of the areas. And you'll be pleased to know Hugh has been in touch to say that his man Keeney is at the dry cleaners. So he's actually...
That even worries me that he's had to go to dry cleaners. You know what I mean? That's even more concerning.
It needs an industrial strength.
He's had it on. He's had to send it to the dry cleaners.
Oh my goodness. That's the show ruined, really, isn't it? We did so well to get to 20-8. Have you got any on that teaser? So
I have not.
Grant has leaned into the lazy Kazakhstan stereotype. He wants you for every letter in the name Borat. Can you name the player with the most goals for Celtic this century whose surname begins with that letter? So we need a B-O-R-A-N-T. I'm surprised you've not got the O, I must say.
This century, so that's from 2000.
Indeed,
that's,
yes.
That's wrong. Andy Tom, that's...
No, this... Before, yeah. Right, there's no way to explain centuries to you guys.
No.
O should be the easiest one because it's the most recent and there won't be many players. So you are on the right... Avenue rough when you said O'Donnell. So
yeah, there's an apostrophe after it.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I know. But
he only left last year.
I still can't think. You're going to have to give us a couple
of minutes. He even scored in the English Premier League at the weekend from the penalty spot.
O'Reilly.
Matt O'Reilly. There we go. We'll get the rest of the answers.
I'm thinking of OS. You know, you think of O'Sullivan and all these things. You think O'Reilly.
We'll get the rest when we return.
Okay.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means we're very close to kick off at Celtic Park. There is still time to reflect on Ibrox last night, and we should try and get closer to rounding off this teaser. Thank you to Grant for sending it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. For every letter in the name Borat, B-O-R-A-T, can you name the player with the most goals for Celtic this century whose surname begins with that letter? So for O, we have O'Reilly, Matt O'Reilly. That's all you got, but I think I heard you come up with some during the break.
Yeah, on you go, Russ.
Scott Brown.
Brown for B, well done.
I think the R is Tom Rogic.
Correct.
And we've got one more, I think, that we think for the A is Abada.
Ooh, doing pretty well. I see, it's amazing what you can do when you're not
You've got one more, you've got the T
still to get, but we'll get it before the end, hopefully. John is on the line. How are you, John?
Good evening, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure. Hi, what's your point? What made you call?
Well, I've been listening to the show tonight, but obviously I've been feeling lousy, so I couldn't get to the game yesterday, so I had a wee bit of a bigger sore head after that result. But I'll tell you what it is. I was sent over certain different angles of the goal that was disallowed. And I know you said earlier on the show, Jim, that you know the ball was in the hand, but see, to be honest with you, what I can see, and I don't know what different angles you've seen it at, but the goalkeeper did not have the ball in his two hands. It ricocheted off his fingertips. It hit the boy's shin. It bounced back, and the boy put it in the net. Now, my understanding is the goalkeeper should have the ball fairly gripped in both of his hands. No taking away the performance in the first half. The second half was a lot better, but that puts a different light on the game going to Belgium next week, where it could have been 3-2. So nobody's really spoke about that, but at this level of VAR, the refereeing, Champions League qualifier, that was a bit of a disgrace in my opinion. It should have looked at even more.
No, so here's the problem. Yeah. The goalie doesn't need to have it in both hands.
No, he doesn't have to have both hands. One hand on the ball. So he's got his hand on top of the ball, John. And then he's got the ball under control, as they would say, and therefore, and then with the player slides in and knocks out. Listen, it would have made it a completely different, you know, complexion of the game, and obviously going over to Bruges. But unfortunately for Rangers, but my understanding of the laws is that is a free kick. I did see it in several angles, but his hand is definitely on top of the ball when Gassama knocks it into the net. So for me, I don't think it's a disgrace. I think VAR looked at it as well. They came to the decision very, very quickly. They're obviously official, so I think they went by the letter of the law, and the letter of the law states that is a free kick.
Yeah, if you've got one hand on the ball, John, and the ball's on the ground, that's enough, unfortunately. It's one of them.
He didn't have his hand on
he
the
did,
ball.
He did, John. I think if we're being honest. Well, what would you call that? Where are the fingertips attached to?
The
The fingertips, yeah, but I'm talking about a good hand on the ball.
I know, but
your hand's on the ball.
I want to be clear, by the way, see if that's like a Scotland game or a Motherwell game. I'm so annoyed because you think the margins are tiny, yeah. But for the avoidance of doubt, the fingertips are the hand, and it's just one of those that.
That's what I'm saying, but there are a lot. I mean, listen, we know there's a lot of times that players will slide in and, you know, knock it, and Ross McCormick sitting next to you is one of the best goal scorers. Particularly for Leeds, he's still the top one.
He's been overtaken. I was asking him this.
But a phenomenal goal scorer. So I'll bow to Ross. He's knowledge as a striker. You'd think it's a free kicker. Would you be aggrieved if he didn't get that stolen from you?
It's by the letter of the law. It's a free kick, right? Mm-hmm. But I've always never liked that one. To be honest, I can agree with him. If the goalkeeper mm-hmm. does have the ball in his two hands, then mm-hmm. fair enough. How can it be under control if there's only one hand on it?
Yeah, I think
the laws of the game. I think that's the thing.
Because even Russell Martin, he felt he didn't like, his gripe was that they showed the ref a still image on VAR. Now, I actually think on this occasion, it is the still image you would show, because you're trying to show contact. This is not like a tackle. You know, people bemoan when it's a still image that is the lead image for a tackle, because you lose all sense of speed and force and intensity and all that sort of stuff. When they talk about going to the VAR monitor for a tackle, you should see at full speed, then slowed down, and then you see the still image for point of contact. I'll politely disagree with Russell Martin, because I think on this one it is the still image that's important, because it's all about contact. You don't need to worry about speed, you don't need to worry about anything. You need to try and see, is the goalie's hand on the ball? Yeah. Ultimately,
I just think, I mean, listen, I can understand John's frustration, because it can make a big difference to the game, the overall aspect of the game. If you go over to Belgium with a one goal deficit, you're definitely still in it. But you know, to me, it doesn't matter how you try and look at it. It's a free kick, and that's it. As soon as I saw it on the game, I thought it was a free kick, and the images after it, when it showed you, I thought, well, that's the line. I heard Neil McCann, I think it was, talking, and Neil couldn't quite understand it, but I just think maybe the fact is I've had to look at the rule book plenty of times, you know, that I just thought that was a free kick.
Out of stuff. Right, thank you, John. We'll agree to disagree on that one, but that's absolutely fine. That's what we're here for. Let's go back to Celtic Park, because kickoff is about 10 minutes away. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, the Champions League flag is all set in the centre circle. The sun has just dipped behind the stand in Celtic Park. Still filling up, certainly not full at the moment. And there are 57 Kairat Almaty fans, I've been told, that have made the journey for this game. This really is a team that on paper Celtic should be beating, but there always are going to be obstacles at this stage in the competition. Kairat could prove to be awkward opposition, and we all know the journey that Celtic have in store next week. Maybe some question marks about Celtic properly getting going this season, and definitely big questions about their lack of transfer business. Brendan Rodgers is one of the people that has been at the forefront of that as he comes in to what is his 800th game as a manager. But Celtic did step up against Falkirk on Friday, and Brendan Rodgers thinks they've been building well into this season so far. They also want to build in their involvement in the first Champions League campaign that had a difference last year. We saw that with the big league phase, Celtic getting their way through that, getting to the playoff knockout round and running Bayern Munich close as well. So these fans have really had a taste of what's possible in this new format. So is Brendan Rodgers, so have the players. So they'll be hoping that they can get to the competition proper and have a good go at it again this season. I'll just read you through the Celtic team again for tonight. Six changes from Friday night. Sinisalo, Murray, Trusty, Engels, McCowan and Kenny all drop out. In comes Schmeichel, Carter Vickers, Scales, Hatate, Negrin and Ida. So Kasper Schmeichel in goal for Celtic tonight. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Kieran Tierney. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate and Benjamin Negrin. James Forrest and Daizen Maeda either side of Adam Ida, who leads the line. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Simpson, Pusey, Trusty, Yang, McCowan, Yamada, Oswind, Kenny, Engels, Bernardo, Murray and Ralston.
And of course, Andrew, this is the Champions League playoff round. This is when they start playing the music and all that stuff, isn't it? Is that still the case? Does this have the feel of a big Champions League night that the Celtic fans have been used to over the last few seasons?
I'm not sure it quite has the feel of a normal Champions League night at Celtic Park. We all know what Celtic Park is like on a Champions League night. It's absolutely electric. The fact that the stadium's not 100% full, even the fact that it's so early in the season that it's still blue sky, which doesn't really have the proper feel of a Champions League game, but we will get the Champions League music, and I'm sure when that comes on and when that flag in the centre circle is being waved and the teams are lined up, that this place will be loud, it will be electric, and the fans will really be looking forward to what they'll hope is another special night in store in this competition.
Right, come on then, you two, give us your score prediction, please. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go 4-0 Celtic.
4, okay.
I'm going to go one more, I'm going to go 5.
Wow, okay, very confident. And here, Gordon DL, he was the only one that predicted Rangers would lose last night, so he got that correct, but don't tell him, don't want to give him too much praise. We're almost there. What we still have to do here is tick off the teaser. Thank you to Grant for sending it in. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. If you think you could come up with a question, hear it used on the show, catch out the pundits, that's the email address you need. So fulltime@clyde1.com. For every letter in the name Borat, B-O-R-A-T, we need the player with the most goals for Celtic this century whose surname begins with that letter. So B was Scott Brown, O was O'Reilly, R was Rogic, A was Abada. You've got one more, T. Which T is the top scoring T for Celtic this century? He's got 50 goals. He's actually got more than all of the rest of them.
I'm bowing to my talented striker here next to me.
No,
struggling.
A little clear.
So from the start of the century, if you like, so that Martin O'Neill team, kind of left side of the pitch, scored 50 times.
Alan Thompson.
Well done. Okay, we'll leave it there. Whatever happens at Celtic Park tonight, we will reflect on it all tomorrow, and then it'll be over to Hibs and Aberdeen. The Scottish football drama is not stopping at the moment. It is relentless, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you so much for all your calls. Thank you for tweeting, for watching on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel to follow Jim Duffy's weight loss journey. That's what I'm going to say here. Every time we turn on those cameras, you're looking better and better, by the way. So keep tuning in on there as well. You can get your podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch the show back, and we will do it all over again tomorrow from 6. Enjoy the rest of your evening.